From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Israel and the Palestinian Authority plan to hold face-to-face peace talks for the first time in more than 2 years. It's a significant step in Washington's attempts to revive the peace process, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is hoping to build momentum with a meeting in a matter of weeks.
On behalf of the United States government, I've invited Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Abbas to meet on September 2nd in Washington, D.C., to relaunch direct negotiations to resolve all final status issues, which we believe can be completed within 1 year.
The leaders of Egypt and Jordan have also been invited. The tough economy has more American workers turning to their financial future to make ends meet now. NPR's Giles Snyder has more on a new survey from the country's largest administrator of retirement savings accounts.
Boston-based Fidelity Investments says a number of American workers who had outstanding loans against their Fidelity 401k accounts in the second quarter reached 22%, a 10-year high. That's 2% more than a year earlier. Hardship withdrawals also peaked during the period. Fidelity says 62,000 workers participating in its plans initiated a hardship withdrawal in the second quarter, compared with 45,000 a year ago. Fidelity says loans and withdrawals were highest among workers who are in their peak earnings years, between 35 and 55 years old. Fidelity's quarterly survey is closely watched. The company runs retirement plans for some 11 million workers. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
And as worries over economic recovery continue, U.S. stocks are feeling it. Dow's down nearly 100 points at 10,176. The last of three inmates who escaped from a prison in northern Arizona has been captured. Arizona Public Radio's Julian Ferris-Cole has details.
John McCluskey and his alleged accomplice, Kaslyn Welch, were apprehended in a campground in northeastern Arizona, less than 200 miles from where McCluskey escaped from a medium-security prison. A nationwide manhunt had authorities searching for the pair near the U.S.-Canada border. The couple was captured after a ranger with the Apache Sitgraves National Forest found what appeared to be an abandoned campfire. That's when he came in contact with McCluskey, whom he recognized from a wanted poster released this week by the U.S. Marshal's Office. A SWAT team waited until dark to storm the campground, where they arrested McCluskey and Welch. Two other inmates escaped along with McCluskey but were recaptured earlier this month. A report found serious problems at the prison where the inmates were being housed, including faulty security for the perimeter fence, which the convicted murderers scaled during their escape. For NPR News, I'm Jillian Ferris-Cole in Flagstaff.
Dow's down 92. From Washington, this is NPR News. Thailand is extraditing a suspected Russian arms dealer to the U.S. to face terrorism charges after 2 years of diplomatic pressure from Washington. The suspect, Victor Boot, is accused of selling arms to leaders in conflict zones around the globe. Boot was nicknamed the Merchant of Death, which inspired the Hollywood movie Lord of War, starring Nicolas Cage. Australians go to the polls in the nation's federal election in just a few hours. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, it's shaping up to be the closest race for prime minister there in nearly half a century.
Australia's two-party leaders, Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott, have been crisscrossing the country over the past couple days on whirlwind tours, trying to firm up support for their respective parties in dozens of swing seats. For opposition leader Tony Abbott, it included a marathon 36 hours with no sleep. A blackout on advertising began 2 days ago, so this is the only way to reach any last-minute undecided voters. The latest polls show Julia Gillard's Labour Party with a very slight edge, but the Prime Minister isn't taking anything for granted.
I think it's going to be a nail-biter of a Saturday night. I think this is going to be one of the closest races the nation has ever seen.
Voting is compulsory in Australia, and around 95% of the country's roughly 14 million voters are expected to turn out at the polls. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
The North Korean government's reportedly on Facebook, that's the word from Seoul, which accuses its northern neighbor of using social networking sites to spread propaganda against South Korea and the U.S. Seoul says Pyongyang also tried to spread its message through a Twitter account, but that's no longer accessible in South Korea. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News. Support.